Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited about this today. I love doing this show with Carrie Knutson. And let me tell you why. It's one thing to talk about stuff. It's another thing to be the teacher and then the doer and then walk the talk. Get Big Out Loud with Carrie Knutson. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to share this journey with her, but I also get to watch her, and I also get to watch her courage, and I also get to watch what it means when she says living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life, because it's all of that. Now, why? It doesn't, you know who Carrie is, professional speaker, counselor, storyteller, mother, rap artist, which we know, traveler, extrovert, so the opposite of what I am, an expert in emotional intelligence, EQ, but beyond that, lives on a pathway that is guided by all of the experiences, all of the things I'm talking about. Why? Because she's out there. She is an author, wrote, directed, stars in a one-woman storytelling show. I can't wait to get caught up. But what is today's show about? Because here's what it's really about. And this is what it's about for all of us. It's uncanny how she picks these topics, and yet it just speaks to us today. Why it's hard to try new things. Let me say it again. Why it's hard to try new things. That's what we're taking on. Now, when I say that, you probably think, oh, it's not hard. So ask yourself, how many new things, I mean, really new things, have you tried lately? Carrie Wright, welcome. You've been trying a bunch of new things. I mean, you made major career, I don't know if you may call it a career change, but you flipped a switch on a bunch of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what made me think of this topic, because I'm trying a lot of new things, and I can sense my resistance in myself when those things come up, and I want to be the person that's like, yeah, I'll try new things. And I was thinking about, at this point in my life where I'm trying a lot of new things, how much my internal resistance is showing up, my need to be in comfort or stay in the status quo is coming up. My also ego, noticing some ego stuff coming up about wanting to be really right or effective or just know how to do it. So noticing that sometimes it's hard to be a beginner, notice when it's hard to ask for help or have questions or just simply not know what you're doing. So I wanted to bring this topic up because I thought, you know, if I'm dealing with it, I bet some other people are too. And so that's the idea. Why is it hard to try new things is really, I think, a great topic for us to discuss today. Yeah. Because there's so much meat to it that will help, but that I think is very relatable for a lot of people.
It is totally relatable. Now, I want to go to an extreme to give an example. You live in the Denver area. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Tonight on the TV, Denver and Seattle. Football. I'm not going to ask any football questions because it's not really about that.
You know, I'm so bad. We're polar opposites.
Yeah. But this is what I want to say. You are watching a perfect example of trying new things. What the heck am I talking about? I don't know what it was like for Russell Wilson to leave Seattle and go to Denver. I don't know. I don't know what it was like. And I certainly don't know what it was like for Tom Brady to walk away from the Patriots, that he was on that team, Jacob. I don't even know how long he was on that team. So we see these people in, what do we want to call it? In the highlights, the people, even if you don't know football, you have to understand, you got this guy, Seattle, goes to Denver, now's got to come back to Seattle and play in that stadium, but he's got this orange jersey on. Do I consider that trying new things? I do. But it doesn't have to be that extreme. Let's go over and talk about what some new things might be and why it does get us. I'm talking about a big football decision, but we don't have to talk about big things. You happen to make a big thing change, though, too.
Yeah, so I happen to make a huge change after 18 years of being in school as a school counselor, to leave to pursue training, consulting, and speaking full time and coaching. And that was a huge decision after 18 years to make the switch. But it wasn't like I just woke up one day, I'm like, oh, now I'm going to change. It's been a long time in the making, but the new things that are coming about because of it, calling myself fully an entrepreneur and a business person, and also thinking about how to craft my business, still using my love of psychology and taking that to more people in different ways. And it's interesting because leaving my school counseling job has also afforded me the opportunity, though, to try new things, not just professionally, but personally, because my schedule's changed and I've had more time to do other things and pursue some interests that I'm like, oh, what might I want to do? So what I want to talk about, even before examples of trying new things, I want to talk about the process that our brain goes through sometimes and how like the human response to this idea of trying new things, because most of us have what I call this like inkling of like, ooh, I want to try that, or that would be cool. And it's this, what I call this little light that comes up. It's like this little, it's an excitement when we want to try something new or we think about something. And what usually happens before we even think about it and give that light a little time to shine, what our brain tends to do is say, we're too old to do that. What makes you think that that's too expensive? Plus, what is everyone going to say if you do that? Or like, do you even know anything about that? Or what's the purpose of that? Or like, our brain is like so good at coming up with a million reasons why not, because our brain loves the status quo. Our brain loves to be unconscious, to be on autopilot, to do what we've always done in the way we've always done it. So when you put an idea in there that says you might not know something or question it, or you might need help, our brain usually is like, wait a minute, that's going to take me out of my comfort zone and I don't really like it. So what I tend to think is people get this idea like, and then it's like, and the brain crushes it. And sometimes what we need to do is just acknowledge when you have that excitement, just let it stay there for a hot second before you start to think of all the, before your brain kicks in, just let it stay and then find a way to protect it. Because a lot of times what I think about is we have these ideas and then we squash them before we even try it based on thoughts and ideas that may or may not even be relevant, true, helpful, but our brain so desperately wants to stay in the status quo that it's understandable. So if you kind of know how your brain works, when you think about it, you can be, oh, my brain's doing that thing where it's trying to keep me in the status quo, where it's trying to keep me comfortable, where it's trying to just keep me on autopilot. Okay, brain, I see what you're doing. That doesn't mean I have to then follow that path. And so I want to just speak to that first so that you can know when you're, one of the very human things that we do when we try new things is shut it down before we even try, just right after we have the idea, because our brain's like, alert. So then the second thing after that is once you acknowledge that I have this thing I want to try and I'm going to protect it a bit and give a little bit of space between my brain thinking and the thing that I want, what I like to do is say, then what people tend to go to is, well, like, if I don't know how it's all going to work out, then I'm not even going to start. And so this is what I like to give an example of. If you drive at night and you put the headlights on, you're not thinking like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen in 2 miles? Will I turn to the left or will there be a stop sign? You trust that the 8 to 10 feet of light in front of you to get you to the next section. And that's how I like to think about when we try something new. You don't need to know the whole road, all the starts and stops, how it's going to go, but you just need 10 feet in front of you. So your 10 feet in front of you might be like, let's say you want to take a class. and you think, oh, I want to take a, for me, I'll just use me as an example. I want to take a Pilates class. I think that might be cool. Maybe the first step is just looking at the schedule and just being like, when might this fit? Right. And then maybe that's all you do. Maybe on Wednesdays at 9, I could take a Pilates class. And then you just sit with that for a bit, right? And then you let yourself take the next bit of the journey, but again, without shutting it down. So sometimes it's a slow process of like calling the rec center, asking if you can have someone can talk you through it, figuring out what you're going to wear, making sure you do have the time, whatever the little things are. And then what I always say too is you can do a lot of planning for something, but really when things kick into high gear is when you have to have the courage to show up. So I want to talk about that in a second too, but this is where I want to leave it right now. These with these few ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Because look, these, you have to understand the questions that you're bringing up in order to tackle this conversation, because I love the way you laid it out. Right. I know people have made major decisions in their lives, and then there are everyday decisions. Mm-hmm. And we are honoring all of it, everything in between, because who are we to say, oh, that's a major one and this is a small one? No, we're not. You know, somebody cutting out sugar in their diet, some people may look at that and say, that's not even a decision. Yes, it's a decision. Yes, it's new. Mm-hmm. But when you think about this, why do I need to go there right now? I think I'm going to go here right now. I'm going to go here right now. Because you opened up the door. This is like a legal case, right? like when you see the prosecutor and the defense attorney, and one of them opens up the door, then the other one's like, oh, you opened up the door. Okay. I think you and I are acknowledging that there's going to be a wide range of emotions. First of all, you're an emotional intelligence expert. This would not be a conversation without having that as part of it, correct?
Correct, because your emotions play a big part. Our thinking, I feel like, is on one track and our emotions are on the other. And emotions usually override thinking. And that's why it's important that you play in to acknowledging your emotions, because, sorry, that you acknowledge your emotions, because they play into your decisions. And talking about how our mind functions, instead of seeing this as something that's wrong with you, I like to think something that's right with you. This is how we function. So if you know how your brain works, you can use it to your advantage instead of your disadvantage. And also when you're saying like what we're talking about, why it's hard to do new things, it's not the one reason why it's hard that you bring up is there's so much judgment. What if it's not a big thing? What if it's a small thing? What if someone judges me for it? And again, we play those things in our mind. If someone wants to give up sugar, that's a huge trying something new. If someone wants to cut back on their social media time, that's a huge thing about trying something new for them, right? And just because, and someone who's run a marathon, you can't compare them to the person who's like, I might walk around my block today and just see if I can like figure out how to get some more exercise. It's not about comparing yourself to others when we try new things. It really is about us. Yeah. But the judgment piece that you just spoke of is a huge factor in why people don't try new things. They don't make it a big enough deal for themselves, or they feel like other people will judge them for it. And sometimes you even have to say, like, it's a big deal for me. It's a big enough deal for me. And also I'm making the change for me. I'm trying something new for me. And so sometimes you have to ground yourself in this idea of your universe is as big as it needs to be for you. The judgment of others, the comparison of others, it's just not worth it because nobody wins in the end. And so whether it's a small thing you want to try that's new or a seemingly big thing, it doesn't matter. It's not on a scale. The brain operates in the same way. You have this idea, the brain's out to stay in the status quo. It will try to squash it. Your knowledge will be like, nope, I'm just keeping the flame lit and protecting it. We'll have some time to figure things out. That's all. Whether the change, whatever it is, whatever the new thing may be.
Yeah. And this is what we're going to talk about when we come back, because we're going to take a short break. When we come back, this is what we're going to talk about. Are you ready to do what Carrie is saying? Are you ready to cross the line of your comfort zone? Yes, there is a line. Believe me, you may not see the line, but there's a line. How do you know? You start to feel discomfort. That's when you know you're bumping up against something. But, you know, what is the real catalyst for whether or not you're willing to cross or not cross? Is the fear you're facing for real? Is it something else? Is it your mind telling us? Are you trying to solve everything yourself? Are you looking at the world from your perspective? And the more time you ruminate on it, meaning play it over and over and over, over again, it doesn't get you off the dime. What it does, it may get you more stuck. When we come back, we're going to talk about this. But do you think that the cosmos is lining you up for something bad to happen? Or could it be this idea you got, this new thing you want to try, was because it's a benevolent energy? When we come back, we're going to take a look at the good, the bad, the ugly, and the new.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You are listening to, you know what? Get Big Out Loud. I'm Dr. Pat, and I get to hang out with my friend and colleague, Carrie Knudsen. This is Carrie's show, Get Big Out Loud with Carrie, living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life. Because every show, what she does, as she does in her profession, right, she tackles this, living the complex, the funny, and the beautiful ride of life. And this is the coolest thing. Because I don't know, like, if I was prepping for this and I decided yesterday afternoon to rearrange like four rooms in my house. I don't know what it was, but all I knew was where my exercise equipment was. First of all, I had one piece in one room and one of the other. So that was not getting me to use either one of them. And then the one that was put in the bedroom, I don't know why my friend thought that would work for me. No. Do you think I want to go to bed at night thinking, oh my God, another day I didn't exercise? Okay. Just all of that. But you got to try new things.
Yes.
And let's talk about this because, you know, part of this is that line, right? What do you call it? You call
crossing
it
the line of your comfort zone.
Thank you.
Yes. And I'm so glad you set me up to talk about that because you described it perfectly. We know when we're getting to the edge of our comfort zone because what comes up for us is discomfort, right? Something is off. But then again, you're like, but I want to try something new, but now I'm uncomfortable because what's going to happen and will it work? And I don't know. Or we blame ourselves. Well, if you had gotten it right before, then you wouldn't need to do this now. Or like even with your exercise equipment, I tried it this way. It's not working. Will that work? I don't know. Make me feel even worse. I don't know. Like, so we stay in those places instead of like, well, I'm going to try this, like being more decisive about it instead of judgy. But what happens when we come up to the edge of our comfort zone, discomfort is something that comes up. It lets us know we're doing something, you know, out of the norm. But what I tend to find is that the real response that usually comes up is fear. Fear is a cover emotion for so many other things. Anxiety, discomfort, the unknown, fear of failure, whatever. Fear usually comes up. And what most people do is see the fear and say, uh-oh, I'm scared. I should go back into my comfort zone instead of saying, oh, fear, here you are. It must mean I'm trying something new. right? To say like, oh, of course you're here because this is a response. But what I tend to think about this is, you know, the difference between fear, if fear were to come up for you, and or danger. Danger is a very different feeling than fear. And we usually know the difference. So if something's outside of our comfort zone and it's dangerous, I think it's a good distinction to be like, I'm not doing this thing. Like, I'm not a really great skier. So for me to be like, yeah, I'm going to do a double black diamond with a bunch of moguls. Dangerous. I'll probably die, right? Or hop in a cast. Like, not a try new things for me would be like, hey, let's go from green to blue, you know, silver, whatever, right? But to me, that, you know, the difference between fear and danger. But a lot of people muddle the two. And if fear comes up, they're like, oh, no, danger. Go back to my comfort zone. So what I encourage people to think about is, when you get to the edge of your comfort zone, and you know that feeling you get, like when it comes up, because it's this kind of, sometimes for me, it takes my breath away a little, it makes me breathe differently. I get tense. My mind starts to really just kind of go on overdrive. My stomach gets tight. I can just feel it in my body that I'm going to do something, you know, that feels new or scary. And so when fear comes up, what I try to do is say, okay, I see you, fear. Thanks for letting me know I'm trying something new. And then I love this quote, and I think about this so much. Everything you want is on the other side of fear. And I'm sorry, off the top of my head, I don't know who to attribute it to. I think it's, I don't remember, but I'll look it up. But it's this idea of everything you want is on the other side of fear is usually when we do something new, regardless of not whether we're successful, most of us feel like, oh, I tried it. We feel gratified, satisfied, hopeful, or motivated. Sometimes just doing something helps motivate us to do the next thing, even if it's not exactly perfect or how we thought. And that's the idea of sometimes seeing the fear, acknowledging it, and saying everything I want is on the other side of this, and doing it anyway, because fear is just the indicator. So instead of staying in your comfort zone, you approach it, you acknowledge the fear, and then you move through that. Yeah. And that's where your conscious mind comes into saying, oh, look at me, I'm moving through my fear. And fear can come up as like, I'm too old for this. You can't teach a dog new tricks. I'm too fat. I'm too young. I'm too skinny. I don't have enough money. I have too much money. Whatever you're going to want to say about the thing. What will people say? All of that's wrapped into that fear bucket. Yeah. So it could be internalized fear or externalized fear. Yeah. What if I make a fool of myself? What if people judge me? And again, you can acknowledge fear can be in that whole basket, internal, external, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's still fear. And talking yourself through that fear to take action towards the thing is the most powerful moment. Yeah. Not even after the doing of the thing, it's the moment you decide to try. It's the moment you decide. That's so powerful. And that has everything to do with your brain.
Yeah. I got to tell you, there was and let's just go here for a minute, because, you know, people may look at you and they may look at me. And I've had our listeners say this to me time and time again, you know, like, how do you do it? You know, look, I'm like everybody else. I actually own the domain unstuckable. It's not even a word, but I own that domain. Why did I study what I studied for as long as I studied? But I got to tell you, there are five books that were given to me by other people, right? And when they gave it to me, I just wanted to just, I looked at them and I just wanted to, like, my eyes fire, right? You think I need this book? Okay. I need it, everyone. Here's one of them. Feel the fear and do it anyway. Mm-hmm. When that book was given to me, I just thought, I don't need it. And then I read it. And Susan Jeffers passed way before her time, I felt. You know, when she passed away in 2012, I said to myself, Pat, you waited too long to interview her. But why did that book ring with me? Because I was experiencing fear every day, doubting myself about launching a network. And so here's what I would like you to talk to. People would love for all of this to go away. They would love for you to erase that line, that, what'd you say? That comfort zone, just erase that, Carrie. just get me like my eraser. Like I didn't even want to just get rid of it. But the thing that I love about what you're sharing is we're not an anomaly. People that are afraid, that's not unusual. Einstein was afraid. Carl Jung wrote a letter talking about his fear of persecution for talking about spirituality. And one of the most powerful letters I've ever read, you know, a man I admired so much says, I should have done more. I couldn't. I was afraid to talk about the spiritual experience. Carl Jung was afraid. So what I'm trying to say is, this is for everyone, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you bring up a perfect point is everybody at some level, I feel, has a fear that they're dealing with. And again, when the judgment comes in, if you share the fear, sometimes people might come back with, well, you shouldn't be scared of that. Why is that scary? Or you know, to diminish it. So sometimes we don't share our fears because we will be diminished. Other times because of our persona, or whatever, people don't believe we could be scared. And so then we don't want to lose face and admit that we are, because then we feel like that's a status thing again. So it's important, like you say, to recognize, I think we all feel fear in different ways. And again, judging our fear or someone else's is just, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't lead to any big revelations, and it doesn't help us try new things, and it doesn't help us support other people as they're trying new things. And I when you said it, it made me think of something that if I called before I did my very first show, I wanted to show, I called a friend of mine and I said, I am freaking out. I'm so scared. I can't believe I even thought about this would be a good idea. What am I doing? And she goes, what are you talking about? You speak for a living in front of strangers every day. How can you be scared to speak? And I said, it's because it's my own stories. It's a show. It's not a presentation. And I just went into all these things of why it's different. But she was laughing at me. Like, she's like, how are you? When you said, I'm afraid to speak, she goes, that's your job. And I had to laugh of it because I'm like, it is, but not in this way. Right now I'm doing something. I'm doing a show. So it's like my own stuff. It's on a different stage. People are seeing me in a different way. And I had to grapple with that. Like, oh, isn't this funny? Like, what is actually scaring about me? Like, I'm not scared to get up in front of people. I was scared that my stories, because it wasn't about emotional intelligence or psychology, something other people have done, that my stories weren't enough. And then that I wasn't going to be enough. And then who was I to do a show? I mean, who am I, right? To do this show. And then the thing I always love to say after I say, who am I? Because inevitably that thought comes up, who am I to do this? I always say, who are you not to? Who are you not to? This world needs all kinds of people doing all kinds of things. So when the brain goes to, well, that's great, but who am I? I really would encourage you to use that. Who are you not to?
Yeah.
That's a much better question.
It's a much better question. We're going to take a short break because when we come back, here's really the punchline for me. Rewards versus risk. Now, this is so important to talk about in so many ways. And again, this one, Carrie, when you talk about this, there's no judgment on the degree of the reward or the degree of the risk, because that is subjective for each person. But when we come back, we're going to talk about that. And I just want you to think about this very important question. What does Pilates got to do with any of it at all? We're going to take a short break. Jacob, when we come back, Carrie Knudsen, we are talking about this, but we're taking your calls. 1-800-930-2819. How many times a day are you defending your weakness? How many times a day are you defending your comfort zone? How many times a day are you wishing you would have, could have, should have done the thing? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. Get big out loud.
Tune Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in, turn us on. You are listening to the most incredible Get Big Out Loud with Carrie Knudsen. Okay, before we talk about risk and reward, right, and, you know, what Pilates has got to do with anything, tell folks now that you did make the decision, how can they find out about you? How can they follow you? How can they, all of that?
Sure. You can find me at www.knudsenspeaks.com. And under there, you can find out presentations that I offer, coaching that I offer, my one woman show that is hopefully we're planning. Justin talks about the date, but sometime this fall, which I'm hoping will come. So I'll be announcing that soon. And just everything about the work that I do. You can follow me on Instagram or Facebook under Knudsen Speaks. And I always love working with people who call me and say, hey, can you do this? Or, hey, want to do that? So I really love trying new things with organizations that reach out to me for different needs that they have.
Look, this is really part of the things we share on the shows that you do. Tap into probably things that are coming up. Now, right now in the world, people are shifting and changing. They're putting their feet in the water. You know, they're seeing, you know, do I go do this again? Just like you. Mm-hmm. In our case, it's, do we continue to do what we do? Do we launch? Do we expand? Now, what would stop that thinking? People hear me talk about this and they say, what stops that thinking? Well, let's talk about what stops any of us from doing anything. And that is, we look at life. We look at what's going on. We look at, for example, the risk, COVID, let's just say it, the, you know, whatever the impact of that is outside of the disease, let's not even talk about the disease, but let's talk about living and thriving in a COVID environment, right? What does that mean? That means that if you go to the hospitals in New Jersey, they are still filled. Is it stopping people? No. But is it tempering people? It might be. So you have to sit here and evaluate things. When risk consumes you and you cannot find the reward that was once your vision or your dream, that's got to be a little bit of information you should look at. Don't you think, Carrie?
Yes. Yes. And I do think risk and reward are such a big part of the idea of why it's hard to try new things, because we normally weigh those risk and reward. And sometimes the reward is kind of obvious, but the risks stack up in a way that's like, okay, not worth it. Not going to try it. And again, but normally we kind of talk ourselves out because we do this thing called defending our weaknesses. And it's this whole idea about why we can't do something versus why we can. So our brain is really good at coming up with reasons we can't, reasons we shouldn't, reasons it'd be hard. Again, it's not that our minds are necessarily negative. I don't want to couch it that way, but our brains love to have the status quo. They love to be comfortable. They love to be on autopilot. They know what to expect. They like to feel confident in like how they do things. So we kind of stick to what we know. And if you think about this, we normally wake up and do the same routine in the morning every day. We kind of like, if you make coffee, feed your cats, take a shower, it'd be very unlikely that the next day you would feed the cats, take a shower, make a coffee. Like, you would not change up your routine. Oh, you probably drive the same way to work. You probably eat at pretty much the same restaurants. You probably hang out with about the same people and do the same activities. Like, we kind of are creatures of habit. And that's not bad because our brain loves that comfort. But in the face of trying new things, that's what we're up against, is this inertia of stay safe, be comfortable, do things you know how to do. Your brain is like saying that. So when you come up between risk and reward, risks, you could just go on for days, and it could be actual like physical or monetary risk, but it most likely people get stuck in the judgment risk, the what if I look, what if I fail, what if I don't look good, what if someone judges me, what if I can't, what if I'm too whatever. So that defending your weaknesses plays in usually more than the physical risks or the monetary risk. And so when you have this reward, the reward is kind of out here being like, I'm still here, and you've stacked up all these risks, it can be hard to still do it anyway. And that's why sometimes when you weigh this, what I like to say is, instead of risk or reward, because then someone loses. It's either risk or reward. You're either kind of not acknowledge the risk and go straight for the reward, or forget the reward and focus on the risk. What if we said risk and reward?
Thank you.
What if it is two things that can exist together?
Linda and I call it R&R.
R&R?
You know, like people say R&R when they mean R&R, right? They're talking about that. So we have two things we think about with that. Risk and reward is one of them, but we haven't put it that way until you just said it. But that is beautiful to talk about that. Why did you do that? What I'm asking you is to give people a little bit of information about why you made that flip, because fundamentally, they're still two of the same words, but the meaning is very different.
Yes, and the meaning is so different. When you make that switch in your brain, you don't have to have this dualistic thinking of right, wrong, yes, no, good, bad, risk, reward. You can stay in the side of, yes, there are risks, and this is what they are. And then you can reality test your fears of it and say, like, okay, what would happen if I wasn't perfect at the first time? Does anyone actually care about me? Am I looking for perfection, or am I looking for an experience? Like, you can kind of reality test those things, and then the reward gets to stay and take up some space. And that reward idea is usually what motivates us to try. A lot of times we wait around to be motivated. And I always say action first, motivation second. Action, sometimes taking any action gives us motivation to do the thing we say we want to do. So if you can hold both, you're much more likely to give yourself a chance to stay on the path versus shutting yourself down. And you need the reward. Also, that piece of it, I just want to speak for a second. A lot of times we think the reward should look like all perfect and awesome and like be this big, huge thing. Like, if I do this, then I'll get the promotion, or I'll win the trip to Europe, or I'll lose 100 pounds. And whatever it is, sometimes we make the reward so big that what I say is, let's be more realistic with the reward. Could the reward be, I had an experience and it was interesting. I learned something new. I got a different perspective. I tried. Could we just bring it to a more realistic level? Especially when I think about people who want to increase exercise, right? And if you didn't have a 14er, then it doesn't count. Or if you didn't sweat it out, then it doesn't count. If you didn't do like 4-hour workout, whatever, it doesn't count. Or if you didn't get all 3 times a week, it doesn't get. We do all these rules that we set up instead of saying, what if the rewards could be like at the end of this, might I feel proud of myself for trying?
Yeah. I mean, I love that we're talking about all this, because you broke it down into a couple of ways. And I think, Jacob, we're going to go ahead and skip this next break. One of the things I want to make sure we're talking about here is that people understand the framing you just described, right? Okay. What's a silly example? All right. I have a friend. So Linda and I like to buy these lottery tickets. We just love it. You know, we love it when everybody around me says, seriously, you know what the odds are of winning, right? Okay, like, you get the talk. We don't care, because there's some level of intrinsic fulfillment for us. And we grew up in New Jersey, which I think was one of the first lottery states. So it became a thing. By the way, recycling, New Jersey was one of the first states. But the point that I'm trying to make is it about winning? There's a part of it that is. But it's also about playing the game. Now, let me say this to you. I have a friend that on a birthday, don't give her a new Mercedes. Don't give her like, no, you know what you get her? You get her $20 of scratch-offs. Why am I saying this? Because sometimes it is the process for her. Everybody in the world will tell you that unless you are completely addicted to this, which some people are, there's a very low risk. But the reward for someone that just loves to, I got my scratch off sitting on the table for a month now, I haven't done. But she, the thing, she's got a very fancy, like, lucky coin and the scratch. Okay. What is it that stops all of us from having a scratch off moment? You know what I'm trying to say? Is you're looking at a person that even if she spends 20 or 30 bucks or whatever it's going to be on this, these moments that she has, anticipating the reward, right?
Yes. And the joy that we feel sometimes from doing something that maybe somebody else can't understand. And if it doesn't bring you joy, then don't do it. But some of us feel joy in different ways. And we've become a society of like, what's the purpose? What are you going to be when you grow up? What are you going to do with that? What's that for? What's the outcome? And what we've forgotten sometimes is, what if it's just fun? What if it just brings me joy? What if it's just something I wanted to do and I like it and it doesn't hurt anyone else and doesn't, what if, and it's making me think about, wanted to take a mosaic class. I always admire mosaic. No matter where I go, I'm taking pictures of mosaics like all over the place. And I thought at 50, I should maybe take a class. Now, am I going to be a world famous mosaic artist? Am I like now dropping everything to open my own mosaic studio? No, but it was taking a 3-hour class. It was so much fun. I was flying when I came home because of putting pieces of glass on a tablet on a square and just making a little bird. I made this, what I call the bluebird of happiness. And it is not going in any gallery. No one but me even cares about it, right? And I'm not changing my whole life to now pursue mosaic. So some of it, well, was that a waste of time or money or whatever? Just because it brought you joy. And sometimes we have to say, joy is enough. It's enough that there doesn't have to be a purpose or a plan past the moment of maybe I wanted to try something new because I wanted to try something new. Yeah. And it brought me some level of joy that it might not bring you or anyone else. That's okay, because you're not living my life. So I think that permission is a huge piece of trying some new things, is giving yourself permission to have it be okay for you without having to take on the judgment of so many other people.
Oh my God. I was just having a conversation with somebody over the weekend because they know that in another life, I probably would have been a tattoo artist. If I wasn't allergic.
I'm not expecting you to say that.
Yeah, if I wasn't allergic to the process and some of the ink, I would probably, I have a full back tattoo that I wanted to get. And the good news is I went to somebody that tested my skin. So I was having this conversation. You want to talk about reward and risk? I had a friend that said to me, oh my gosh, I found a great new tattoo artist. Okay, why am I talking about this? Because all the tattoo shows now are coming on. Ink Master's back, the whole thing. And she said, oh, I found a new tattoo artist. I said, oh, okay. And she says, yeah, I'm going to go get my neck tattooed. I'm like, wait a minute. You found a new artist and you're going to go to this new artist who you've never been to before and get one of the most painful and visible parts of your body. Now, I'm all for, look, I'm not anti-tattoo, but you could see my risk radar go up here, mm-hmm. right? This is what you're hearing from me, right? Yeah.
Which is not,
it's not fear.
Point, because it's not risk. The things that you bring up with this aren't bad, because sometimes those things should
Thank you.
Have you thought about this? Have you considered
That's
that?
That's right.
Because we have to think past the moment. So risk,
that's right.
The whole idea of bringing up the risks isn't necessarily negative. And that's a really good point that you bring up.
Thank you. That's why
you have to reality test a bit. And if you bring them up, though, in a way that doesn't shut down the conversation, that's when I find the idea of risk and reward works well. When you can bring up the risks in a tangible way, in a thoughtful way, and not either discount them completely or let them run the show. That's a really good point, because we do reality testing the risks is a good thing to think about.
That's what I wanted us to talk about here, because look, you know, there are things that you can step out in the world to do, and you have to make the, should we call them evaluations? Okay, to use Carrie's words, you have to do an evaluation of your line of comfort, that line of comfort zone. You have to do it. And what happens sometimes is you move it. It moves the needle, right? And information sometimes helps with that, doesn't it? I mean, I would imagine, I don't know, so don't let me speak for you. But I would imagine that before you made the decision to change the career direction and go back to doing what you love, right? There was some evaluation that happened. I don't know. Did you do it out without consulting your family? See, I don't know.
Right. And no, the answer is absolutely, I consulted my family and my trusted friends. And the reason it took a long time was because it was a bigger level decision with a bigger impact. The risk and rewards to me were at a higher level than taking a mosaic class.
Yeah.
Right. So those things take some time, though. But the mosaic class was just as important, but it took a different level of consideration because it impacted different people, different our lives, different. So when you think about the decisions that are kind of have more meaning in our life or have a greater impact, sometimes it does take a little longer to evaluate the risks and rewards. And you may need trusted friends and family, well-meaning people. And you also may need to evaluate, you may have someone sell you something you don't necessarily want to hear. And I think about who's giving me the information, because I often say, if someone who I trust and love is giving me that honest feedback, I'm going to take that much more seriously than some random person who comments on a Facebook post, or like, you know, some anonymous person that, you know, has an opinion or society's opinion. So you have to then think too about who do I trust to help me as I navigate this, as I come up with big things in my life? Do I connect with other people that can help me evaluate the risks and rewards in a thoughtful way, and people that I trust to tell me the truth or their perspective? At the end of the day, we still are left with their own choices. And what I find is it's not a problem with people listening to other people and getting a lot of information. It's the problem that people have with their own sense of courage and their own willingness to work through that fear. It's very rarely do I think people are, it's other people. When it comes down to it, certainly it seems to more come down to us. Am I willing to try that thing? Am I willing to take the action? Am I being thoughtful for my needs and what makes sense, and and do I evaluate risk and reward and fear in a thoughtful way without just, this is what I think that some people find. I'm going to change everything. I'm going to sell the house and move here and quit my job and do whatever. And I think that comes from a place of real reaction and even maybe anger or a lot of repression, versus trying new things from a sense of steadiness, thoughtfulness, openness, but not as a response to something that necessarily might be like, oh, burn the whole thing down, right? That's what I think, there's a difference between those two ways of thinking about trying new things.
I love this because, I mean, look, I want everybody out there to really be encouraged to really look at your comfort zone, because here's the question, isn't it? Is something holding me back from pursuing something that I desire to pursue? I'm not even saying that I love. I'm saying, is what is holding me back, right, from doing it? You know, and look, in order for us to meet our launch goals and to launch our crowdfunding, I don't know what people out there know about this world, but I'm willing to invest every bit of my whatever it is, it back into my company to do this. I made that decision over a decade ago. I make that decision now. I stand by it. I'm also willing to do what many entrepreneurs do, and you go get a business loan. If you need to take a business loan out in order to fund a crowdfunding initiative based on 20 years of contacts that you've made, which you think could raise $1.3 million so you can offer reduced rates to people to have a voice. See that little dialogue there? Now, that doesn't come with sleeplessness. That comes if you choose to accept door number one. That is going to come with a few sleepless nights, a little bit too much caffeine like I've had today, and working with a lot of people like Carrie Knutson to get beyond the fear. But is the reward greater than the risk? It is. I had somebody ask me something, Carrie, not too long ago. And I got to tell you, it's a good thing I do shows like this with you. I had somebody say to me, Pat, what would you do if you lost it all? And I looked at them and I said, what do you mean? This is how ignorant I am. I said, what do you mean? Well, what would happen if you lost it all? Like if you were not able to get funding, if you were not da 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 da. I said, dude, first of all, that is not even a possibility in my consciousness. And I think secondarily, if in your terms, I did lose it all, because I have lost it all in your terms, the way you're defining it, multiple times in my life. Mm-hmm. I lost a mom to suicide. I lost a stepmom. I lost an important job, 6 months away from a pension. I lost my body to disease. I lost financially to paying for things to heal my body. So I said, I don't know what you're talking about, because you know what? I think you're talking to the wrong person. Because the one thing I haven't lost is resilience. Mm. And you see, we cannot let people rain on our parade. I never did get an answer as to why that question was asked. But I said, you know what? It's a thing. It's not my life. It's a thing. But see, this is how we're challenged in the world where we have so many desires like you did.
Yes.
So many reasons to step forward. What do you want to say to people so that they can just nail this and not be deterred by somebody else's fear-based question?
Well, I think there's a quote that's making me think of, there's a quote that says, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? And I love that quote. And I want to add an addition to it, though. I was like, say, what would you do if you failed? What would you do if you knew you were going to fail? And that to me is like so important. What would you do if you knew it wasn't going to change the world, but it was important to you, right? So what would you do if you couldn't fail? It makes us feel like, okay, what if failure out? But part of trying new things is I might fail. It might not look perfect. And if you think about my first podcast versus this podcast, a million times different in how I feel about it. But if I didn't start, I wouldn't get better. I think about my first show. When I look at that show, I probably cringe, you know, at the times of change this, but I'm so proud of that first show because it got me to my fifth show. And when I think about my presentations, it's the same thing. And when I say I failed at some things, I'd say, yeah, I have. And it's important to think about this idea. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? But what if you did fail and it was okay? Because part of trying new things isn't about being perfect and doing like things for other people. It is for what do I want to feel? Do I want to live my life? How do I want to express myself? And I just want to say one more thing too, because I know our time is getting close, but I want to wrap up the Pilates thing in case someone's like, you never talked about there's someone out there who's like, why didn't you finish Pilates? So here's the quick, and this kind of sums it up. I've been thinking about Pilates forever, but I'm a yoga person. And every time I go by those machines, I'm like, oh my God, what's that? Why do you need machines? And so finally, though, me saying, why don't I just try something new? And part of it was just figuring out the schedule. Then I got some information. Then I had a 30-minute tutorial on the machine. And then when I got there, I was the one in the class that's like, what am I pulling? Can you help me do this? What did I stretch? And I was like, I'm going to be a beginner. But when I walked out of that class, was I like Mrs. Pilates of the universe? No, I just took one class. But you know how I felt about myself? Proud, courageous, interested. I thought some new thoughts in Pilates class I hadn't thought in a while. I thought some new things about myself and I felt a new way. And that's what I hope you leave with. On the other side of fear, through courage, right? And through risk and reward and through resilience, there's a lot waiting for us. And I encourage you to please try some new things because the world needs what you've got out there. And more importantly, you need to have those experiences to feel like you're living your life in the way you're supposed to live. So I encourage you, please try some new things on behalf of yourself.
I love it. And by the way, that quote is on every show I've ever done. I've been using it for decades, but I need to give credit to First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt for that. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? Now, a lot of people use it. A lot of people say it. But imagine hearing her say it. Can you imagine? having a chit chat with, hey, Ellie, right? Carrie, again, give out your website. Thank you so much for today.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. Thanks everyone on the production team too. And thanks everyone for listening. This is very gratifying. And it's so fun to be like, I'm not new at podcasting anymore. This is our 26th episode. So I feel in trying something new certainly paid off for me.
Me too. Website so people can get a hold of you. You also coach people, give them whatever they need to contact you.
Sure. You can find me at knutsonspeaks.com. It's K-N-U-T-S-O-N speaks.com for coaching, for presentations, information about my show, anything you want to discuss, Instagram or Facebook or email, all work fantastic. I'd love for you to reach out to me for any way I can be of service. That's my goal, to get big by connecting with people.
And for those of you out there, you heard a lot today. You know, this is a show where you really have to look at if you know and you've got something in your heart and you have not taken even the smallest bit of action on it, anything like Googling it, please make today be that day. It's like Gloria Steinem said to me on multiple occasions, Pat, you got to do something outrageous every day. Thank you, Carrie Knutson, for reminding us.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.